This is G for Yourself. Now, here's Gio.
Hi, and welcome to G for Yourself. Glad to have you with us today, wherever you happen to be in the world at this moment. Our guest is making her second visit to the program. Suzanne Scurlock-Durana was on this show in 2010. She had written a book then called Full Body Presence, Learning to Listen to Your Body's Wisdom. Suzanne has spent many years studying the wonders of the body and teaching around the world. Her Healing from the Core curriculum, along with craniosacral therapy and other bodywork modalities, work toward a complete and body-centered guide to awareness, healing, and joy. Suzanne Scurlock-Durana is the author of Reclaiming Your Body, Healing from Trauma, and Awakening to Your Body's Wisdom. We're going to be talking about that book today. Suzanne, when we look at the title, Reclaiming Your Body, right off we get the sense that we've lost something or have been separated from it. What do we mean when we say reclaiming your body?
You know, I think that one of the things that we have to look at first is how heady we are as a culture, and that in that headiness, you know, in that whole process of how we live as a culture, it's very easy to lose track of what goes on below our necks. And I think that, you know, John, one of the things that we see a lot in people is that they don't know what they're feeling in their body. And this shows up all the time. Even people who are highly educated and knowledgeable about concepts may not actually know how to tune in to the felt sense, visual imagery, emotions of our own system in a way that's healthy and integrated.
And the book, the book's very first line tells us the body has its own language, which is really older and more primal than most of us realize. Give us a bit of an overview about what the body is saying to us and how we can listen.
Yeah, I think that one of the things that I do with people that's one of the most important things is to help them start to drop inside themselves. And everybody feels something slightly different, John. It's really interesting how the way that you experience your inner landscape and the way that I experience my inner landscape could be very, very different from each other. And yet both of us are listening to something that's true, something that's authentic for us. There's really no fake news in the body itself. There's only misinterpretation of the signals that you're getting or a muting of the signals that you've been given in the past, so that the body just kind of stops trying to give you information unless it's really an emergency because you're not listening.
Well, you had your own disconnect at a very young age when you had an encounter with a dog. Talk about that.
That was actually one of the earliest memories I actually have, and it was one of feeling just deeply, deeply connected to this lovely, probably a golden retriever, half grown, wandered into my yard when I was very young, maybe four, and I just fell in love with it, and the dog fell in love with me. There was such a deep heart connection. And when I went inside to say to my parents, you know, I've just found an old friend, and I'm so happy that I'm going to have this old friend for my entire life, and they kind of looked at me like, well, no, this dog belongs to somebody else, and we're just going to take care of that right now. And I was just devastated. I was very heartbroken. And the message I got was that these heart connections, these truly authentic ways that we connect that are beyond words, really, deeper than words, don't matter in our culture.
That's a great story that a lot of listeners, I think, can identify with. It really brings it home. I want to ask you something about trauma and whether you think there's such a thing as trauma and disconnect starting in the womb. For instance, the fetus taking on the problems of the parents.
Yes, I think that that's entirely possible. The other thing is that the fetus also recognizes when traumatic things are happening to the mother and can take that on. I just was working with a client, an excellent therapist here in my area, who had a very traumatic experience when she was probably 6 or 7 months in utero. Her father was alcoholic, and he actually hit her mother when she was pregnant with this client of mine. And when we got down to it, there were no words for it. There was no story for her because it was way before that part of the brain had developed. But there was a very clear sense of something just closing down and locking off in order to protect itself, so to speak. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also, there's been a lot of research that shows that children, probably up until about the age of 7, don't have a clear way to have boundaries from the parents and their environment, so that they soak things in that were not meant for them and make decisions about themselves based on what they soak up, because they don't really have decent boundaries until that part of the brain develops and can actually start to recognize, oh, that's me and that's him, and this was not about me. You know, there's a lot that goes on as we develop as human beings, from in utero to infant to toddler to child to adolescent. There are boundary developments that happen every step of the way in healthy circumstances, and then there are boundary circumstances that happen in unhealthy ways, meaning violations of our boundaries, in that same time frame.
Mm-hmm. You're right about the wisdom areas of the body. 6 of them are primary, and those being the heart, the gut, the pelvis, the bones, the legs and feet, and the brain. Any one of those stand out for special consideration?
You know, I'm going to give you a big no on that, because one of the things that has happened for us in our culture is that we tend to get really friendly or have a favorite part of who we are, a place we feel most comfortable, and then we kind of decide that's the most important part. And in fact, what I write about in the book is the fact that all of these parts of who we are designed to work with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so any time that you don't have your feet and legs on board, for instance, it's very, you're missing a big piece of maybe a decision that you're making, or you might be missing a sense of solidness and groundedness. If you don't have your gut on board, you can be highly inspired to do something and completely miss the fact that it's really not right for you at all.
Mm-hmm.
So that those kinds of things go on all the time for us as human beings, and people either recognize it or they don't. But the whole idea is that the entire system is meant to be integrated together.
For me, the gut is a foolproof navigational system. So for me, it's not just a throwaway line when I say I have a hunch or my gut was telling me. But, you know, I hear some people say, well, I don't know if my gut is really steering me in the right direction here. Is the gut reaction foolproof? Is it a lead pipe cinch that you're getting the right direction?
Actually, no, because it might be that you get a gut hunch, and then you jump off into a story or a thought process, and you leave your gut behind, and you decide based on one gut hunch that, you know, you should do ABC, when in fact DEF is actually what's true. So, I tell the story in the book about some very dear friends of mine who moved 3,000 miles away from their home area, where they were very, very, very successful therapists, very successful, top of the field. And they moved to an area of the country that they just fell in love with, and wouldn't this be lovely? I think we're meant to live here. They go home, sell everything, relocate to this new part of the country, only to find that it is extremely difficult to make a living based on the demographics of that area, based on the license laws. And I have actually seen this more than once. It's as though they felt this wave of inspiration to be in this beautiful part of the country, and then they stopped listening to their gut and they went to their head and made up a story that this is where we need to be for the rest of our lives.
Oh, okay.
versus this is where we might want to get a vacation home, or this is a place we might want to visit regularly. So do you see what I'm saying with that?
So it's an ego construct.
I talk about an integrated gut as being the thing you want, which is means that your gut's talking to your heart, your pelvis, your feet and legs, and your brain, and your bones, of course.
Yeah,
so that's
an
educated or an integrated gut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like the ego can get in the way of a really good gut feeling, and then suddenly you're telling yourself this story, and you're going completely off task. All through history, we've there have been negative attitudes and associations tied to the pelvis. The pelvis, I like to say, has launched a billion guilt trips. And the wisdom area seems to be the bad boy of the six that you mentioned in the book. Are we just puritanical? Why is this area so controversial?
Well, because it's the seat of our power. You know, the root chakra in the Vedic tradition, it's like the engine of the body. And so if that engine isn't integrated with the rest of the body, things can really go awry. People can just take off in directions that really have no integrity, that may be mean or cruel to other people. It's really a part of the body that is designed specifically to be integrated with every other part, but particularly the gut, the heart, the bones, the feet and legs. I mean, I have to say, really, the pelvis, because of our sexuality emanating from here, because of this core body energy emanating from here, it is absolutely something that we can't do without, but you really want to have it integrated with everything else.
Our guest on this Chi for Yourself is Suzanne Scurlock-Durana, author of Reclaiming Your Body, Healing from Trauma, and Awakening to Your Body's Wisdom. Who are your mentors? What have you learned from them?
Okay, so I would say that one of my primary mentors was my father. And then secondarily after him was Dr. John Upledger, who taught me all about craniosacral therapy and about really listening to the body in a very deep way with my hands. In the body itself, like me learning to embody internally, the late Emily Conrad and Susan Harper, who is still here on the planet, were two women who taught me more about embodiment and life and presence than almost anybody else. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Craniosacral therapy, that involves gentle touch, I think it's called?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Very gentle, light touch, but a touch that involves the depth of the body. Like, it can go all the way to the DNA of your cells and all the way out to your skin and the energy field that runs through it and around it. Craniosacral therapy is a very subtle and astute form of body work for listening to the body's wisdom and creating balance for your entire system so it can heal and thrive.
Mm-hmm. And you develop a process that shows us how to build our inner energy. Inner energy, very important topic or theme on this program all the time. The core embodiment process powered by CAT. You want to talk about those methods and how they can help us?
Yes. So I love, you know, it's very interesting. One of my colleagues pointed out to me that when I teach and when I treat, I'm always cultivating the person that I'm touching or listening to. I'm cultivating their curiosity. I'm trying to get them to be just curious. That's the C in CAT, in the CAT method. So cultivating curiosity about listening to your inner landscape is really important to keep you out of judgment and to help you get into just the direct felt experience of what's going on. And then awareness is the A in CAT. And we have to grow really much more in-depth, subtle awareness in order to really have core embodiment. And then trust is the T in CAT, meaning you have to trust the really small whispers and big hits that you get from your internal landscape in order to move forward and not to start to second-guess yourself and stop the whole process. So the curiosity, awareness, and trust actually are, what would I call them? They are principles to cultivate in order to be able to dive into your core embodiment and really fill up your inner energy reservoir so that you are deeply embodied.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, you're working from the inside out. And I understand you lost a whole bunch of weight in a relatively small amount of time working in that direction, right?
Yeah. It was interesting. I had actually been fighting it for a long time. Mm-hmm. I don't do well with dairy, But I didn't realize that. And I kept telling myself that dairy was not a problem. And when I actually started listening to my body and cut that out, it was just astounding how fast the inflammatory process dropped. Mm-hmm. And I cut out some other things, too. I mean, I cut out sugar and soy and corn, anything GMO, and was just really listening to what my body wanted. And it was interesting because it felt great. I did not feel like I was depriving myself.
Yeah.
But the weight just rolled off. It was absolutely fascinating to watch. Yeah.
Any other disciplines you work with? Yoga, meditation, anything like that? Is that...
You know, I, for years, had a daily yoga practice. I have meditated for many, many years. And I call the core embodiment process an inner exploration. But it is truly a form of meditation, mm-hmm. of meditating on your insides and listening to what your internal landscape needs in order to be nourished and nurtured, and then to soak that in, whatever it takes to do that. And so that's, I think of that as my meditation. And I do lots of different kinds of movement for myself that really nurture me. Continuum movement from Emily Conrad and Susan Harper to, I did have a practice in yoga for many, many years. I don't practice that anymore. Just my life has gotten a little too busy. And I walk a lot. I love to walk.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. What does the latest research tell us about unresolved trauma and its effect on us?
You know, the latest research talks quite eloquently about how different parts of the brain go offline when a trauma is being re-experienced. It also talks about how, and it's getting very, very clear, that the body has a tendency to contract, to shrink, and to close off around an area that's been traumatized. We also see that people sometimes dissociate or leave the body when they've had a lot of trauma, particularly early trauma, repeated trauma. Dissociation is actually a common side effect of that. And they're actually able to measure that and show that these days with some of the brain scanning that they can do. And what it does when we have trauma still held in the body that won't let go for one reason or another, usually because the person doesn't feel safe enough, what happens with that is that it handicaps us as human beings, because trauma pushes us out of the present moment and either pulls us back into the past moment when the trauma occurred, or it pulls us forward into anxiety about what might be coming next.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're not able to feel what's happening sensation-wise in the present moment, it truly is a handicap, because we lose the capacity to feel danger or to feel when something's really right for us. We might just walk right on by it and then wonder why the world doesn't give us what we want.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. One last question, and we'll let you go. Just a little bit of advice for those who may be hearing these words today and wanting to make that exploration and get in touch. What is a good step one, shall we say, for these people?
You know, the book, Reclaiming Your Body, that we're talking about, has lovely, lovely step-by-step-by-step processes. One of the things that I'm known for is taking relatively complex or esoteric topics and making them very, very simple so that people get how to do it. Most people actually conceptually understand that they really might want to be in their bodies, but how to actually go about it. And I have a lovely paragraph from page 8 of the book that I'd love to read to you, if that would be okay
sure.
with you, John.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. Called the most important relationship in your life. Your relationships with other people throughout your lifetime, with your parents, spouses, children, friends, and teachers, will shift as time passes and situations change. As long as you are alive, however, your body is always with you. So it is so beneficial to have a strong, deep, intimate relationship with your unique physical self. Your body is designed to guide you, keep you safe, and bring you full vitality and pleasure. It's the vehicle manifest your thoughts and dreams into reality. In this book, you'll discover how establishing and nurturing a healthy relationship with your body will allow you to reclaim lost parts of yourself, tap into your body's wisdom, and better navigate your life.
Oh, great. Great starting point. Great. And we can learn more about the book, of course, at your website, which I think is healingfromthecore.com.
Healingfromthecore.com.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's a great place to start, John.
And read the blog posts while you're there, too. I had occasion to do that, and that's also very interesting and helpful. You can find out a lot about Suzanne's work. In fact, the book we're talking about today, Reclaiming Your Body, Healing from Trauma and Awakening to Your Body's Wisdom, from Suzanne Scurlock-Durana. Suzanne, I want to say thanks for being on with us and bringing us all the insights and tools for healing. You're always welcome here, so I hope you'll come back and visit us again.
I would be most happy to, John.
You'll find a link to Suzanne's website on the ChiefForYourself.com start page. If you haven't subscribed to Genulines yet, you can do that on the start page. It's really the best way to be notified as to who our guests will be and when they'll be on with us. And it's the best way to find out about things like our 30-day Living with Purpose series. And you'll hear about freebies and other offers there, too. Well, that's about it for today. Remember, you can hear Chief for Yourself in the form of a downloadable podcast at a number of sites, including blogtalkradio.com. And thank you for all of the likes and follows on the social media as well. Thank you for being with us. Be well, and I'll talk to you soon.